Welcome to the Denker Capital podcast, where our highly experienced team of in-depth thinkers and other experts share their insights on a range of investment-related topics. In this podcast, we have conversations about developments in South African and global markets and what these may mean for investors. We analyze specific stocks and sectors and explore general themes relating to the fundamental principles that underpin sound investment decisions in an ever-changing world.
Hello and welcome to the Denker Capital podcast with me, Nigel Barnes. The date today is the 14th of April, 2021. And I'm very pleased to be joined by two of the young guns within the Denker Capital team, Barry de Kock and Craig Metherall, who are analysts within our financials business, which is obviously headed up by Cocky Coyman. Welcome, guys. Nice to have you with us this morning. I think what I would like to do to start with, Barry, is come to you and just talk a little bit about the financial sector from a global perspective over the last 12 months. The sector obviously sold off towards the end of quarter one last year. Can you just remind the listeners why and just give us some of the detail there?
Morning, Nigel. Sure. So as you say, the sector sold off significantly last year as we moved into the pandemic, as concerns around the impact of lockdowns, the associated fall off in interest rates globally, severely affect profitability and solvency at the companies, mainly via bad debts increasing significantly and the risk of, on the insurance side, much larger claims than they would normally take. From peak to trough, we saw the financial sector fall 43% last year, and that compared to the MSCI World, which fell 34%. And looking back, a sell-off certainly wasn't irrational, but we did feel it was fairly indiscriminate. Many companies entered the crisis in a much stronger position than they have been in years, and we felt that the sector was severely punished.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that Cocky has alluded to a number of occasions through the webinars that we did last year and other calls. You know, financial businesses across the world are in great shape and are able to, you know, absorb the losses caused for the reasons that you've highlighted. You agree with that? Maybe you can give us an example?
No, I absolutely do agree with that, Nigel. We saw, for example, the big six banks in the US last year put aside $96 billion for loan losses. That is a massive number and almost twice the level of what they put aside in 2019. Despite that, we saw most companies go through the year managing through the crisis and seeing it off as an earnings event rather than a capital event, which I think is testament to the strength of how the companies entered the crisis. JP Morgan, as one example, entered last year into 2020 with a tier one ratio of 14%, which was the highest it's been in decades, and loan to deposit ratio and efficiency ratio also at multi-year lows. So really on the front foot into the crisis, and we certainly saw them and many other companies in the sector manage through it very well.
Okay. I think I'm right in saying that this afternoon we've got the Q1 earnings result from JP Morgan.
That's right.
And also Wells Fargo, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And we'll look to see some good results from JP Morgan, hopefully some reserve releases and some good numbers coming through.
Okay, great. The second half of last year, we clearly on a global basis started to see economies gradually reopening. We started to see rollout of some of the vaccines and more positive optimism. The sector started to turn around, Barry. Just quantify that for us in a bit of detail.
Absolutely correct, Nigel. With the reopening of many of the economies and many countries coming through the height of the pandemic, we saw unemployment improve and we saw results at the financial companies materialize much less badly than we thought might be the case, or that the market thought might be the case at the beginning of the year. From a performance perspective, the MSCI Financial Index rallied 86% from its lows last year. And that is largely related to what you just said around the increased optimism on vaccine rollouts, the opening of the economies, and generally results that came in a lot better than feared.
Sure.
And over 1 year, we've actually seen the sector up to the end of March up 61%. And that compares to 54% for the MSCI World.
Okay, so we've definitely seen a very strong recovery. Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Barry. So that's the sector in context. Craig, I'm going to bring you in now because I know you're going to have a look at the Denker Global Financial Fund specifically now and how that compares. I saw a number at the beginning of this week of performance for the A class in dollars of 82%, which is clearly a fantastic number. And those that listened into our calls last year and took note of what we were saying, specifically what Cocky was saying around the sector. I'm sure those that invested have seen and were very aware of those performance numbers. Craig, can you unpack that a little bit for us and just maybe give us some examples of some of the attribution within the fund?
Sure. Thanks, Nigel. Just quickly to touch on that performance number, that is correct. 82% for the 12 months to the end of March 2021 in US dollars. We're very proud of that performance. And as you and Barry have touched on, the sector delivered 61%. So that means we outperformed the index by roughly 20%. And we believe this is a testament to our investment philosophy of investing in well-managed, well-capitalized, high-return businesses whilst being mindful of valuation. And you've alluded to the calls we've had over the course of 2020. And in these calls, we stressed or we tried to make the point that our analysis and our stress testing at the heart of the crisis meant we're very comfortable with the companies that we're invested in, given the quality of the management teams and the strength of the balance sheets. In many cases, these businesses went into capital preservation mode, given the risk of rising bad debts in the case of the banks or rising claims in the case of the insurers. Sure. And as I said, we were very comfortable with the businesses that we had exposure to, just given that in-depth work that we did. As we emerged, or the economies emerged from those initial strict lockdowns and they started reopening, we saw that many of these businesses returned to a growth mode. And we saw some very, very encouraging results, particularly over the second half of the year. From an attribution point of view, many of our top contributors were what we consider or what are off-benchmark bets. And I think this really is a testament to our stock picking ability and another thing that we're very proud of. And some of the key contributors that stand out are Tinkoff, our Russian fintech exposure, Essen Group, a mortgage insurer in the US, ING Group, the Dutch bank that many people would know of, Signature Bank, a US regional bank with a focus on real estate financing, particularly in the New York area, and then Kruk, a Polish debt collector. Now, we love to pat ourselves on the back for the things that we get right, but there are a few things that we missed. And obviously, we pay close attention to those to learn from those mistakes. Over the period, we have had exposure to a bank, Credit Corp, in Peru. We've seen a little bit of political risk in the region, which has meant that the stock has lagged the sector a bit. Sure. We maintain that the stock looks very cheap. We have a constructive view on the bank. It is a high return business trading at a very attractive valuation. So we still have exposure there as we have that positive view. And then perhaps another area that we missed was the performance of the investment banks, particularly in the US, given the heightened volatility in markets, the deal activity that we saw.
Sure.
But bearing in mind that we delivered 82% in US dollars for the 12 months, we're still very comfortable and very happy with that performance.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, that's a great result and testament to the work that you guys have done and sticking to your, as you say, to your philosophy, and even finding a Polish debt collector called Kruk, which is quite interesting. But anyway, thanks, Craig. That's all looking back historically, and I'm sure the listeners are keen to understand what prospects are going forward. Barry, I think we'll just come back to you. Maybe, guys, you can just highlight three key areas in the portfolio as it stands today, where you see really positive prospects, and just open that up and give us some examples and why you see it that way.
Sure, Nigel. At the moment, we are very constructive on the non-life insurance sector globally. And our reasoning behind that is driven off a number of things, but primarily around a rate hardening cycle in global insurance in various pockets of the market. But actually, it's a fairly broad rate hardening cycle. That is driven by what we see as reduced capacity at Lloyd's of London, which was a big player, as well as other big players in the market like AIG and Zurich over the last couple of years. We've also seen a number of large losses over the last few years. If you think back to hurricanes Harvey, Irma, Maria, a number of floods in the US, etc. Couple that with historically low interest rates, insurers are forced to make better margins on the underwriting, so they are hiking prices. So if you put that together, we see a very, very good underwriting environment for our companies, and we expect them to grow the top line strongly. Renaissance Re, one of our portfolio holdings, as an example, expects to grow their top line by around 25-26% this year. That will be on the back of improved margins, given what we are seeing in rates, which are outpacing loss costs at the moment. So there we have around a quarter of the fund is exposed to the insurance sector, of which most of it is non-life. So we're really positive about the prospects for that going forward.
Right. And India, Craig, I know is about a 10% exposure within the fund. Just very recently, in the last few days, we've seen COVID cases starting to rise, some currency pressure. India has been a very positive performer until very recently, and clearly is a major part of the emerging markets basket. Are you comfortable with that holding?
We are comfortable with the holding. I think it's important to highlight that from a COVID point of view, cases have risen dramatically over recent weeks. And given it's a country of over a billion people with very densely populated areas, it is hard to control the spread of the virus. So we saw a bit of a sell-off in the markets there. But given that we are very bottom-up focused, it does give us a lot of comfort that if you look at the sector as a whole, if I look first at the financial sector, we are exposed to the banking side rather than the insurance side, which does give us some comfort. We see potential risk in the insurance companies from heightened claims, whereas the banks, it seems like growth has resumed and we may enter some localized lockdowns, but I don't think India would return into a very strict lockdown scenario. So given the private sector banks as a whole, roughly speaking, hold about 120 basis points of provisions on their balance sheets for bad debts, this is over and above their normal provisions, we're very comfortable with the strength of the balance sheets and their ability to raise further provisions if need be. So we do have some exposure to the Indian banking sector, but we really like the penetration story there. There's a long growth runway, and we think that there's some really top quality operators in the sector there.
Okay. Yeah, clearly we've seen some potency in the fiscal response in the US. In terms of the US holdings, any comments there in terms of prospects going forward?
I think generally, Nigel, the US holdings have a favorable outlook, and that is, as you touched on, increased stimulus in the US. We've got the potential for, well, with the rising yields, we've got the potential for rising interest rates over time. Unemployment is coming in a lot better than many of our banks had forecast maybe 6 to 12 months ago, and that clearly bodes well for credit losses. So we expect to see increased reserve releases going forward, which will boost results. And then, as Craig touched on earlier, a return to growth from the lending books. Because one must remember the US banks, the growth has been very muted in recent years. And a return to growth will surely bode well for ROEs and valuations. So I think the US still makes up a sizable portion of our fund. And I think we're pretty optimistic on the banking outlook as well as the insurance outlook.
Barry, I'm really pleased that you brought up valuations in that last comment, because I'm sure people listening are perhaps thinking, 80% or more performance over the last 12 months, is there still value? You'd like to comment?
Sure, Nigel. We absolutely still see value in the sector. The financial index is now trading at 1.2 times book. And despite rallying hard from its lows, we still think within the sector there are many, many good opportunities. We have an environment that is probably the best it's been in years going forward for many financial companies. And valuations, we don't think, reflect that just yet. So looking more specifically, or to give you an idea of on our fund, across the fund, we see intrinsic value growing roughly double digits in the coming years and ample room for them to re-rate still. So we would say that maybe the easy money is off the table, but it's certainly a good environment for stock pickers in the sector, and we see a lot of good upside still in many companies.
Thanks, Barry. That's fantastic. I think we'll leave it there. I think we've gone back and hopefully given the listeners a reminder of sector performance over the last 12 months and also an outlook going forward. I know that you guys have been very, very focused in terms of the portfolio around making sure that those companies that we're invested in have very strong capital base, extremely well managed through this difficult period. And that's really starting to come through, has really come through in terms of the performance versus the sector. So thank you both. I really appreciate your input, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like to join us again, please subscribe for more investment insights. To find out more about our team and the funds we offer, please visit our website at denkercapital.com. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily represent those of Denker Capital. This podcast does not take the circumstances of a particular person or entity into account and is not advice in relation to an investment. Please do not rely on any information without appropriate advice from an independent financial advisor. The value of investments may go down as well as up, and past performance is not a guide to future performance. Denker Capital is an authorized financial services provider in South Africa. Please visit denkercapital.com/disclaimers for the full disclaimer relating to the global fund mentioned in this episode.